WBTV's Good Question is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network. Listen to your city at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.
We've been living with COVID-19 for 2 years now. Though the virus isn't spreading as rapidly these days, the pandemic continues. But it's important to remember there are other infectious diseases we are living with too. One of the latest that is grabbing headlines, monkeypox. What is it, and do we need to be worried about it?
Monkeypox is to some degree, you know, spreading around the globe. It's certainly something that we need to be aware of, but not necessarily something that we have to be overly concerned at this point.
This is WBTV's Good Question. For this episode of WBTV's Good Question, we spoke to two different doctors about monkeypox, Dr. Stefan Wagener, executive director and founder of BioRisk International, as well as Dr. Dan Janis, a professor of bioinformatics and genomics at UNC Charlotte. We'll start with Dr. Wagener, and then we'll get to Dr. Janis. Dr. Wagener, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you, Alex, for having me. Good to have a chat and to talk about monkeypox.
Absolutely. I wanted to first start by having you explain what BioRisk International is and what you do for them.
So BioRisk International is basically a private consulting business that primarily focuses on risks associated with biological material. And normally I work within the laboratory setting or organizational setting where we look at biosafety, safe handling of infectious diseases and biological agents. But we also look at biosecurity because some of those agents are potentially of concern if they leave a facility and can be used to do harm. But we also look at aspects of bioethics, what is good and safe and appropriate research and work with biological agents. So like you see, safety, security, and ethical is all associated with biological materials. And so that's one of my primary focus.
The question I think a lot of people have these days is, what is monkeypox?
Well, monkeypox is one of these diseases that all of a sudden appeared on the horizon again. I mean, it's an endemic disease in some parts of Africa. It's what we call a zoonotic disease because it has an animal origin. And, like we have seen with many other diseases over the last 10, 20, 30 years, all of a sudden they jump. You know, they jump from an animal host to humans and then cause infections. And monkeypox has been around, you know. It's part of the family of pox virus, you know. Smallpox belongs to that and others. And we don't normally pay too much attention unless they really become an issue. And right now, monkeypox is to some degree, you know, spreading around the globe. We have cases in North America, we have cases in Europe, and so on. And it's certainly something that we need to be aware of right now, but not necessarily something that we have to be overly concerned at this point.
Do we know exactly where monkeypox originated?
Well, it comes from monkeys. The name indicates that. At this stage, with the current outbreak, we don't at this point really know where it came from originally. I know a lot of professionals are working on that. It's not only from a scientific perspective, but also from an epidemiology perspective, public health perspective. At one point, we will have some more information where this outbreak that is now internationally happening actually originated from, and who the first indicator key case was. Triggered it.
Why are we hearing about, I guess, monkeypox right now? What causes something like this to start spreading all of a sudden?
Well, there are two things. Number one, people show up with symptoms that they don't see. The rashes, and people say, "Oh, is it chickenpox?" But I'm too old for chickenpox. So all of a sudden, I can come up with something. Public health officials see it. The medical professionals see it. And they certainly have to deal with it. It is a concern to some degree. Even so, we hate to say that, but the morbidity, the death rate associated with monkeypox, it's very, very low. It's a self-limiting disease. But the other reason is also we have a heightened awareness right now. And so we within, you know, the globe need to realize infectious diseases are with us. And more and more and more, we will see things happen that we have to associate with illness, with disease, and with biological agents that cause that. So,
how does monkeypox impact people? What are some of the symptoms, and what can happen to you if you get monkeypox?
I'm not truly a medical professional, but you have common symptoms that start with fever, muscle aches. One of the unique features of monkeypox is the lesions that people that are symptomatic develop all over the body. There are certain areas of the body that are more dominantly exposed to that. And but like I said, it is self-limiting, and it might hang around for a few weeks. And with good isolation practices, that's basically it. You know, people have swollen lymph nodes that differentiate smallpox from similar symptoms that we see, you know, with other diseases. It's something that is what I would say easy to recognize if you look for it. Okay. So the medical professionals have the ability to quickly diagnose it, especially with the advancement of our molecular identification techniques like PCR that has been, you know, used now very frequently as part of the COVID pandemic. So these molecular tests that people can do are very quick tests, and they help to identify it. And then the appropriate measures can be taken to isolate the person and to also then trace who had contact with this person, which is also very important.
Absolutely. Do we know how dangerous it can be? Can it actually lead to death or serious illness? Or is it usually something, like you said, where you just have to isolate and deal with it?
Yeah, I mean, the primary purpose of isolation and deal with it is to prevent a significant outbreak. Also, it allows then to target specific aid to that people, to that person that is in isolation. Normally, it is primarily symptomatic treatment. Yes, we have a vaccine, or, you know, vaccines that are available, depending on how you look at it. So from a prevention strategy, there might be a need to do very targeted vaccination, maybe within a family or things like that. But other than that, yes, there are certainly with so many diseases, they can be severe outcomes, you know, depending on the immune status of the person, prior illnesses or weaknesses within the body that basically gets exploited. And then, you know, side effects normally can be overwhelming. And yeah, ultimately, there is a very, very small chance that there is death associated with it, but it's very, very low. So don't want to focus on that. It's not an area of significant concern.
Well, that is definitely a good thing. How is monkeypox spread, and is it very contagious?
Well, it is relatively contagious if you have direct contact. And direct contact is with body fluids that contain the virus. Now, the thing is that direct contact to physical contact, skin to skin contact, can basically promote the transmission, because if people have lesions, those fluids that come out of the lesions, the little pustules that they have on their skin, they can be very infectious. Okay, they can contain the virus. And so if you directly touch it, and then you touch, you know, your face, your mouth, anything else, then okay, here you go. Okay, so the good thing is we know that direct contact transmission is an issue. We know that if you have somebody in front of you face to face, that aerosol transmission can happen after, you know, if you talk to somebody for a long time, change of fluids through your mouth while you're breathing in and out and things like that. So we know how it happens, and we can specifically focus on that.
And I know you touched on prevention, and you might have touched on treatment as well, but could you expand a little bit? Do we know if there's a treatment, or do you kind of have to just isolate and wait for them to go away?
Yeah, so what people can do is basically continue what they have done already with COVID. Okay, COVID made us to some degree and encouraged us in other ways, for example, to focus on hand hygiene. Hand hygiene is a key aspect in keeping yourself and others safe. Hand washing with soap, using appropriate disinfectants and cleaning agents, will very easily inactivate that virus, cleaning surfaces. The other thing is, if you are in direct contact with people, wear a mask. Okay, mask always helps in two ways. Yes, it filters the air to some degree and protects you from those larger particles that are basically in the air. But it also is a behavioral barrier. Okay, I mean, if you look at people, what do we do? We normally always have our hands in our face. At the moment you wear a mask, it's much more difficult to touch your mouth and things like that. So that all these strategies that we are being used to, to some degree, maybe even tired of, but they definitely will help. And so good hand hygiene, appropriate cleaning and disinfection, keeping a distance to people, appropriate distance, and especially if you are the person carrying the virus and you start develop these symptoms, see medical professional assistance and then go through an isolation. It helps you get the treatment and the help you needed, but it also prevents people around you and your family at work or things like that. So
I know you've made a couple references to the lifestyle we've lived during the pandemic and COVID-19. This disease, though, is not similar to COVID-19 at all, right?
No, definitely not. It's number one, it's a totally different virus. Also, it has some similar properties, like the envelope, the little fatty layer around it. But it's far less contagious from that perspective, because you really need contact to contact here to pick up the virus, either from a surface or from somebody's skin, or really, breathing, coughing in somebody's face. And plus its spread is limited. Okay. We're seeing not all of a sudden that, this virus causes follow-up infections. We're talking about hundreds of cases. We're not talking about 10,000s or 100,000s of cases. And, we're not talking about a pandemic. Okay, we're talking about a disease outbreak that at this point happens, and it happens at various locations, but it's very much at this point contained to those locations, and people know what to look for and people know what to do. So,
that being said, we just got our first case here in Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, which is where Charlotte is, on Monday, June 27th. So not something that the general public needs to be overly concerned about, correct?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I mean, the likelihood that there will be more cases is certainly there. Whereas one case, you always can assume there was another case before, okay, mm-hmm. for that person to pick it up. And, sometimes with monkeypox, what we call the incubation period, where, the virus establishes itself in your body and before symptoms start, can take a while. COVID is much faster. Monkeypox can be a little bit longer there, week, 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, 21 days, something like that. So before you actually, break out with the lesions and have your outward appearance change because of it, but you might have symptoms before, you might have the fever, the temperature, you might have body aches, muscle aches, you might have swollen lymph nodes. Okay. So all those, from a public for your viewers and, it's important to, educate yourself a little bit, go to, North Carolina's public health, website and look up what it says, the symptoms, be educated. And if you know somebody, that has symptoms, have an encouraging conversation. Say, maybe you should talk to somebody. And by the way, maybe I keep my distance. We're not getting together for coffee today at Starbucks or wherever. So, yeah.
Gotcha. I think this is my last one for you. What do you foresee as the future of monkeypox here? Is this something that's going to fizzle out fairly quickly, or is it going to, you know, just kind of be lingering around?
Well, that's like, you know, Alex, give me the crystal ball, okay? And I might rub it and see what clouds develop in there. I think it will be a while, especially since it's not very much localized in one region of the world, but we have it in many areas. And some areas are very well developed from a public health perspective, others are not. So, and monkeypox has been around, okay? We got rid of smallpox. Wonderful public health initiative here worldwide to eradicate it. And now we have to deal with the little cousin there and work through it. And what I'm very predictive about is it will not be the last disease that we encounter in our lifetime. So I would say be prepared. Infectious diseases are among us, and they will raise their ugly head once in a while, and we have to deal with it.
Part of life, right?
Absolutely.
Dr. Stefan Wagoner, Executive Director and Founder of BioRisk International, thank you for taking the time to talk with us.
Take care.
We mentioned that we also spoke to Dr. Dan Janis, a professor of bioinformatics and genomics at UNC Charlotte. We've spoken to him about COVID-19, and we also wanted to ask him what it's like being an academic and studying these infectious diseases. Take a listen. Dr. Janis, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Wanted to start with what we've heard a little bit more about on the news these days, monkeypox. What is monkeypox?
It's a DNA virus first discovered in Africa and later discovered in research monkeys that's reemerged from Africa, spreading around the world. About 3,000 cases globally, 200 some in the United States now, about 27 states plus DC.
Is this something new, or is this something that's been around for several years and has just never spread as much as it is now?
Newly discovered, within the past few decades. There was a small outbreak in Texas in 2003 associated with transport of African rodents and subsequent infection of prairie dogs and some humans.
Wow. Do we know how this, where patient zero was, or where like the first case ever was?
It seems to have its center in West Africa, and that's the strain that we're experiencing now, which is a more benign strain. And there's another strain of monkeypox associated with Central Africa that is much more dangerous, but we're not experiencing that one now, at least in the West.
Yeah. Gotcha. I know you kind of touched on this, but the reason for the name monkeypox, pretty obvious, right?
Only because it was discovered in research monkeys, but in nature, it occurs in rodents, squirrels in Africa, and also monkeys, but its home is squirrels in Africa.
Gotcha. So are we just hearing more about this now because it has spread to more places across the globe?
That's correct. Yeah. And quite rapidly.
Gotcha. Is this considered an outbreak?
Yeah, it's just an outbreak. The World Health Organization declined to call it a public health emergency of international concern, but all eyes are on it at the moment.
I think the question a lot of people would have is how exactly does monkeypox impact people?
Well, it impacts people in the community of men who are having sex with men primarily right now, and through skin lesions and oral contact. There is a woman who traveled from Africa back to Virginia who is a case too. So it can affect other people as well.
Gotcha. How dangerous is monkeypox?
It's typically a self-limiting infection. There are some mortalities historically, not in the current outbreak with monkeypox. It can lead to secondary infections such as pneumonia and encephalitis, which if not treated can be deadly. And it can also attack your eyes and lead to blindness. But no cases recorded of that yet in the current outbreak.
Gotcha. So it is something that can put you in the hospital.
Certainly, yeah.
Wow. How contagious is monkeypox?
If you're interacting with people who have the open lesions or are spreading the virus through respiratory droplets, it's contagious, yeah.
But this is not something where you just walk past someone in the street and you can get it. Or are you saying it is?
No, completely different from, you know, a respiratory illness like SARS or SARS-CoV-2 or influenza. Gotcha. You're not in any danger, just doing your normal, you know, socially distanced activities.
Yeah. Gotcha. And that was going to be my question. I know so many people are living the pandemic lifestyle these days. And, you know, we were used to a couple of years of dealing with COVID-19. Any similarities at all between COVID-19 and monkeypox?
Very different. Different virus, different route of transmission. Much harder to acquire.
Gotcha. Do we know how monkeypox is treated?
There is an antiviral that was developed against smallpox, which is a relative of monkeypox. Interestingly, if you're of a certain age, if you're born before 1972, you received the smallpox vaccine before the smallpox was eradicated. So pull out your mom's baby book and see if you were vaccinated against smallpox, which some reports say has very long duration of immunity, provides very long immunity. So, now the small stockpile, we have a smallpox vaccine in the country, is being leveraged against susceptible people. And it apparently works also if you're inoculated soon after exposure. So there are tools.
Now, that's definitely good to know. We got our first reported case in Mecklenburg County Monday, June 27th. Mm-hmm. Is that something that should concern folks in Mecklenburg County, or is it not something that we predict a big outbreak of?
Certainly, you know, one case locally can become many, as it's happened in major metropolitan areas, especially in Newark and California. If you follow standard precautions, you're not in any danger.
Gotcha. Any concern at all on the national scale, the global scale, that there will be some sort of spark that will lead to more and more spread of this? Or is this something that you predict will remain relatively tamped down?
I think it will remain tamped down. On the evolution side, there was a paper came out recently that said that monkeypox has picked up a lot of mutations. And there's debate about whether this is a good thing or a bad thing. We don't know what those mutations mean yet. And they seem to be in response to our host defenses. We have an enzyme that can mess up the virus as it replicates. So hopefully that host defense is doing what it's supposed to be doing. Yeah. So,
absolutely. Fingers crossed. Wanted to ask, as an academic, what is it like for you when, you know, something new pops up and you have the chance to read about it and learn about it?
Oh, it's very exciting. Of course we don't want it to occur, but nature will do what nature does. And so that's what we study. And the tools we have are just amazing. The ability to see the genomes evolving almost in real time has been fascinating.
I was about to say, are you then taking what you learn and what you have studied and trying to use that information to help the general public?
Yeah, we shall. That's our mission.
That's awesome. Dr. Janis, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. Anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, that's it. Just, be careful. Remember, coronavirus hasn't gone away, even if we're not thinking about it as much as we have. So be careful with that, too. So
that's a good point. We're hearing about monkeypox, but COVID-19 is still very much out there.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
WBTV's Good Question is a product of WBTV in cooperation with Queen City Podcast Network and Balto Creative Media. From WBTV, Good Question is produced by Jack Vandertal. Special thanks to Jamie Bowl. For the Queen City Podcast Network, WBTV's Good Question is produced by Brian Baltashevitz and Maria Delgado. Production coordinator, Taylor Robinson. It is recorded at the Queen City Podcast Network studios at Huga Coworking in Charlotte, North Carolina.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.